So, we can celebrate because Jesus is risen. But what difference does it actually make? It was something that happened a long time ago. It kind of seems like something out of history. What difference does it make to you and to me today, here, now? Well, to think about that, we'd need to go back to that first Easter day. That first Easter morning must have been so different to today. Here, there's a lot of joy and celebration, but then it would have been just the opposite. Because one thing Jesus' disciples were sure of was that he was dead. They had seen him crucified. They'd seen him taken down from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea had asked Pilate for Jesus' body. And then along with the two Marys had taken it to a tomb cut out of rock. They put the body in the tomb and rolled a huge stone over the entrance. Jesus was dead. And for his disciples, that first Easter morning must have begun with them being afraid. Because now that the authorities had done away with him, probably their next move would be to seek out Jesus' followers, get rid of them as well. So they had to stay indoors with the doors locked. Jesus was dead. And for his disciples, the first Easter morning must have begun with them feeling so alone. Of course, they still had each other. But as anyone who's been bereaved will know, that's just not the same. For the past 3 years, their whole life had been built around Jesus, following him, learning from him, depending on him. And now he wasn't there anymore. Jesus was dead. And for his disciples, the first Easter morning must have begun with them feeling utter failures. Just 72 hours earlier, they'd been so full of confidence. When Jesus had told Peter that he'd deny even knowing him, we read Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you." And all the others said the same. And what had happened? Peter had sworn blind, he didn't know Jesus. And all the rest had run, abandoning Jesus. And now, all they were left with was that unbearable sense of failure. They had been there. They knew who Jesus was, and they had all deserted him. Jesus was dead. And for his disciples, that first Easter morning must have begun with them feeling absolute despair. Everything they'd built their lives on, all their hopes for the future, were centered on Jesus being their Messiah, the one who they would follow forever. So now they hadn't just lost their friend and a friend and master. They had lost everything they had invested in for the future. For them, well, there was no more hope, just darkness. Afraid, alone, failures, despairing. And into that hopeless situation, three of the women went to the tomb where Jesus was buried. Everything had been done hurriedly on the Friday. So there'd been no time to properly embalm his body, which is what they wanted to do. So let's hear now what happened. Pam is going to come and read for us.
The reading is taken from Mark 16, starting at verse 1 to 8. It can be found on page 1023 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus has risen. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling, bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
So, the women arrived at the tomb. But they found that the stone had been rolled away and Jesus' body wasn't there. Instead, there was a young man dressed in a white robe. You see, just as it was an angel who announced Jesus' birth, so now an angel announces his resurrection and begins to help these women understand what had happened. Because first, that open tomb means that in place of despair, there is assurance. When Jesus died, it just seemed as if all their hope for the future had died with him. But now the angel says, you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. Jesus had gone through death and come out the other side. And in doing that, he'd shown that death had been defeated. The empty tomb meant that in place of despair about the future, the disciples could have assurance. Second, the empty tomb means that in place of failure, there is forgiveness. All the disciples had failed Jesus. They'd all sinned by turning their backs on him. And most of all, Peter had failed. He'd even sworn and cursed at people who said he was a follower of Jesus. But now the angel says, but go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. Peter, the one who had messed up most spectacularly, was the one who got special mention. Just a couple of days earlier, Jesus' followers had seen him on the cross. They'd seen a supernatural darkness that came over the land as Jesus died. They'd heard him cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was so significant because at that moment, Jesus was taking the sin of the world on himself and taking its punishment. And his resurrection is like God saying loud and clear, the price is paid. The empty tomb means that forgiveness is possible where before there was only the failure of sin. And third, the open tomb means that instead of being alone, they were loved. When Jesus died, they had lost the most important person in the world. Their lives must have seemed so empty and hopeless. But now, the angel says, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. I guess it would have been quite possible for Jesus to rise, to have conquered death, to have forgiven sin, but never to have met with the disciples again. He could have gone straight to heaven, but he didn't. He met with them. He reassured them of his love for him. The empty tomb means that there is love, where before there was only despair. And fourth, the open tomb means that instead of being afraid, they were afraid. If you were following through that reading, you'd have to admit the tail end of it was so surprising. After all the wonderful things the angel had told them, Mark now tells us, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That's not what you expect, is it? Not after the amazing things that have happened. And it does seem that in the centuries following Mark writing this, lots of people saw it and thought, yeah, that's not a very good ending, Mark. Tell you what, we'll finish it off for you. And if you look at in the Bibles at Mark's Gospel, you'll see that there are different kind of endings that have been tagged on. Maybe Mark did write something else which has now been lost. But actually, I think maybe Mark knew exactly what he was doing. These women had heard the most amazing news ever. There was nothing in their background that would have made the things that the angel talked about believable for them. They'd seen that Jesus wasn't there. They'd heard about him. But they hadn't actually met him for themselves. And until that happened, none of what they'd heard would really make any sense to them. You see, There is something missing here. Anybody tell me what's missing on there? Oh, Ollie. An eye. Read the other Gospels. You'll find that it wasn't hearing that Jesus was alive again that changed people. It was meeting him after his resurrection that changed people. In Luke's Gospel, later on the first Easter day, two other disciples were walking home. They'd heard that the tomb was empty, that an angel had told them Jesus was risen. It just didn't make any difference to them. They were still feeling hopeless. And then Jesus came to them and met with them, and everything changed. You see, it's really only when the eye is there, when that personal meeting has happened, that the real meaning of Jesus' resurrection is complete. Only then were they changed. And maybe Mark left his gospel with that strange ending to actually challenge his readers. To challenge them what they would do with that good news. You see, there's one other thing the angel said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified? He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. I wonder, why was the stone rolled away from the tomb on that first Easter morning? Was the stone rolled away so that Jesus could get out? I don't think it was. If death couldn't hold Jesus, a chunk of stone certainly wouldn't be able to. And anyway, after his resurrection, Jesus was able to enter a room when the door was locked. Jesus did not need that stone to be rolled away. It wasn't so that he could get out. It was so his disciples could see in. They could see he wasn't there. So when they did meet him, they could be sure that it was him. And that stone was rolled away so that we can see Jesus is not there. So that we can be sure that Jesus is alive again. There is no other explanation, as we saw earlier. There's no other explanation for the empty tomb. Jesus has risen. And that means that the empty tomb means that we can be sure that it is possible for us to meet Jesus. Even now, nearly 2,000 years later. The empty tomb is our guarantee that Jesus is alive, and therefore it's our guarantee that we can actually meet him. And it's because Jesus is alive that there is assurance in place of despair. There's forgiveness in place of failure. There is love in place of loneliness. Those things are as real as the empty tomb. But there's also a kind of challenge here. And the challenge is, okay, you've heard all that, you've seen all that. What are you going to do about Jesus? You see, it is perfectly possible to know that the tomb was empty, to know that the empty tomb means all of these things, and yet to still be without that assurance, that forgiveness, that love. Because in order to have those, you have to meet with the risen Lord Jesus yourself. You've got to be ready to turn your life over to him, to recognize who he is, and to give your life to him. And it's only when you do that that he can change you and give you that assurance, forgiveness, and love. I guess over the years I've met an awful lot of people who've said they just want those things. They feel very uncertain in the world. They need assurance. They feel they've messed up. They need forgiveness. They feel alone. They need love. They feel afraid. They need security. But actually, what they don't want is Jesus. They want to just keep him at arm's length. Maybe recognizing that the tomb was empty, but leave it at that. But I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. It's only when you have trusted yourself to Jesus that these things become possible. So, you've seen the empty tomb. You've seen what it means. And I guess the question for each of us is this morning, will you be like those women, hurrying away, seeing that the tomb was empty, but kind of not engaging with it personally? Or will you see what the empty tomb really means? Will you acknowledge Jesus as the one who is great enough to have conquered death, the one who obviously is God? Will you entrust your life to him? Accept him as your king and let him change your life. And in doing that, find in him assurance, forgiveness, and love.